I'd like to invite you to take your Bibles this morning and turn with me to the book of Colossians. Today, I mentioned already, it's my intention to conclude this series on bitterness. I have sought to impress upon you the fact that all men, women, and children are a lot more bitter than we'd like to confess. Now, along the way, we have studied the sources, the signs, and the solutions for bitterness. This morning, our final message on bitterness will find our context right here in Colossians chapter 3. In this particular chapter, the Apostle Paul, he concludes this chapter outlining the primary roles for wives and husbands and children and fathers and servants and, yes, even masters in chapter 4, verse 1. For example, look at verse 18. Wives, what's your primary role? Submit to your husband. Husbands, what's your primary role? Love your wives. Be not bitter against them. Children, you're to obey your parents in all things. Verse 21, fathers are not to provoke their children to anger. Verse 22, servants are to obey their masters in all things. And verse 1 of chapter 4, masters are to give that which is just and equal unto their own servants. Now, it is possible that a man may have several roles that he is to fulfill. For example, if a man has a wife, he's to love her and be not bitter to her. If he's got children, he's not to provoke them. If he has a job, then he's to be a faithful servant there to his boss. If he's the boss, then he's to treat his employees properly. So a man can have several roles that he is to fulfill. But because we're dealing with a topic of bitterness, the majority of our time this morning will be on the husband's role to love his wife and be not bitter against her. Now, the scriptures we're going to study this morning will help you husbands successfully fulfill your God-given role. But likewise, it's going to help all of us to fulfill our God-given roles. So we all need to pay attention to what God has to say to us. But let's begin chapter 3 of Colossians, verse 19. Husbands, love your wives and be not bitter against them. Husbands, love agapo. That's that self-giving love spoken of in John chapter 3, verse 16. It's that love that gives expecting nothing in return. It's that self-sacrificing love. Now, it's kind of interesting that the verbs love and the verb be not bitter, they're both present imperatives, meaning that they are God's commandments that are to be continually kept. And by the way, do you think it's possible not to love your wife and be bitter towards her? And you say, well, yeah. Do you think it's possible to love your wife and be bitter towards her? No. The commandment here are twofold. Love, be not bitter. Now, what would be the opposite? Hate and be bitter, if you want to put that combination. But you can't love your wife and at the same time be bitter towards your wife. The command here is love, be not bitter. Loving involves being not bitter towards your wife. I want us to talk, first of all, this morning about the source of bitterness for a husband. Now, we've discovered in this series of 9 messages that the root sins, all root sins, yes, even bitterness, come from pride and lust. We saw that in Hebrews chapter 12, verse 15. We discovered there that because of our pride, because of our lust, we may become bitter when we suffer from sinners. That was the first four verses. Then we said we can also become bitter when we suffer from our own sin. That was verses 5 through 11. Our first point this morning, and notice it on your sheet, a husband may become bitter when suffering from a sinner, his wife. Can you imagine that a wife at times might sin against her husband? Oh, yeah. A sinner then can fan our pride, can fan our lust, causing us to become bitter when we want something or someone, but they don't give it to us. We want something and our wife fails to give it to us. Or we can flip the coin over and we have something and our sinful wife takes it from us. That can fan our spirit of pride and lust, causing us to become bitter. So out of a spirit of pride and lust, a husband's love for his wife can become less and less, while at the same time his bitterness towards his wife can become more and more. Why? Because his wife sins against him by not giving him what he wants. For example, he may want her to stop. Stop what? Well, maybe he wants her to stop her sarcasm towards him. But when it doesn't happen, he gets bitter. He may want her to stop her spending. When that doesn't happen, he gets bitter. He may want her to stop scolding of him. But when that doesn't happen, he gets bitter. Maybe scheming against him. And, of course, all above, not submitting to him. Oh, but then we flip the coin over. Those are some things that he may want her to stop doing, and she doesn't. When she doesn't, he gets bitter. But what about some things that he may want her to start doing? Showing self-control. You name the area. Where does your husband want you to demonstrate self-control, but you don't? Well, what happens when you don't demonstrate self-control? Does he get bitter? Stroking you, the physical realm, when he wants that and he doesn't get it, or it's taken from him, how does he respond? Does he get bitter? How about the aspect of you being sorry for your sins? He expects you to be sorry, but he never sees you asking for forgiveness. So when he wants you to start that and you don't start that, does he get bitter? Or scrubbing, I put down scrubbing, cleaning. All right, you're not the housekeeper that he wants you to be. So when you're not the housekeeper that he wants you to be and he wants you to start this and when you don't, does he get bitter? Or, and of course, all of the above, submitting. You just don't submit. And remember what we saw that the wife's role was there in verse 18. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husband as it's fit unto the Lord. Look at this purpose, ladies, please. I purpose not to provoke my husband to love me less and to be bitter towards me more by sinfully withholding from him what he wants me to stop doing or start doing. I'm going to confess my sin to God and to him and strive to submit. And all the men of the congregation said, amen. But hold on. Just because our wife is provoking us by not stopping or starting what we want them to do, and more importantly, what God wants her to do, we do not have the right, men, to be angry or bitter at our wife. But we do have the right, as the servant of the Lord, to gently, patiently, meekly instruct her, praying that God would give to her a spirit of repentance to the acknowledging of the truth, and that she would escape from the snare of the devil who's taken her captive to do his will. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verses 24, 25, and 26. But we do not have the right to be angry and bitter at our wife when she sins against us. We can minister to her, and we should minister to her, but we shouldn't be angry. Look at your purpose on your sheet, please. I purpose to keep on loving and not become bitter when my wife, or with my wife, when she does not stop or start to do what I want her to do. And do that by following 2 Timothy 2, 24, 26. You say, my hands are tied. No, they're not tied. You have a biblical role to fulfill. And that's to minister the truth gently, patiently, and meekly. Yes, you may become bitter, man, when your wife sins against you by not giving you what you want. But you can also sin, and she can also sin against you by taking something from you that you want. For example, how about sleep? She wouldn't let you sleep in. Couldn't take that nap because she wanted you to fill it in. How'd you respond? How about your stash? Man, you've been saving up, you've been saving up, you've been saving, because you have something in mind that you want to get. Now she's come to you and said, honey, I got to spend that money because. How do you respond? How about sports? Man, you got an activity planned with the boys. But she says, honey, you can't go there because we've got this obligation. We got to go and do this. How do you respond? Look at your purpose, please. I purpose to keep on loving and not become bitter with my wife when she takes something that I want from me. How? By reminding myself. You know, God's trying to seek to refine my faith. He's trying to refine my patience. And we saw that in James 1. We saw that also in Hebrews chapter 12. Whereas wives, by their sins, should not provoke their husbands to be bitter, neither should husbands allow their wives to provoke them to bitterness. That was the truth we saw in Matthew chapter 18, verses 6 through 7. So, first of all, point one, husband, yeah, he may become bitter when suffering from a sinner, his wife. But a husband can also become bitter when suffering for his own sins. For example, when you're being a bit lazy, husbands, and she asks you to fix something, do you get bitter? When you fail to meet her physical needs and she asks you about it, do you get bitter? When you provoke the children to wrath and she comments on it in private, do you get bitter? When you let your eyes look on something that you shouldn't look on and she corrects you, do you get bitter? There's times when you and I are reproved for doing wrong. We shouldn't get bitter. There's times when you and I are reproved for doing that which is right. We still shouldn't get bitter. 1 Peter chapter 3. Look at your purpose on your sheet. I purpose to keep on loving my wife and not become bitter with her when she confronts me about my sin. Hebrews 4:12. It says this, take heed, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. But exhort one another daily while it's still called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. Who knows you best, men? You know who knows you best, the one you've been living with the most, your wife. Proverbs 27, verse 9 says this, ointment and perfume rejoice the heart. So doth the sweetness of a man's friend by hearty counsel. Your wife knows your heart. She knows your walks, your ways. And when she speaks of that, reproving you, do you become bitter? You see, it's possible for us to get bitter when others sin against us. But it's also possible for us to get bitter because of our own sin, especially when they're being reproved. Because of pride and lust, we get bitter when suffering from a sinner or suffering as a sinner. In reality, we fail to recognize that God is trying to refine our faith, our patience, our love, our humility, our meekness. Remember, meekness is that attribute seen by the way we reprove others, and it's seen by the way we receive reproof from others. Most women are not very meek in the way they reprove. Most men are not very meek in the way they receive reproof. God is always, always, always dealing with us men. And the instrument that he uses more than anyone else in the world is our wife. All right, so the sources of the bitterness, we talked about that. How about the signs of bitterness? Well, through our study on bitterness, it's been revealed to us that some of the evidence that we might be bitter are as follows. We saw in Hebrews, we get troubled, and then we trouble others. We saw there in Hebrews 12 that there's times that we might faint. How do we demonstrate the faint? We want to fight, we want to flee. That was all in Hebrews. But there are other evidences. We noted another evidence of bitterness is that we're angry, and we might even weep, but without repentance. That was in Genesis chapter 27. Esau, all right. We went on. We noted in the book of Exodus 15 and 16, evidences of our bitterness can be seen in our mumbling, our grumbling, our complaining. And last week we noted with Simeon, he was jealous and became bitter. And today we see that another evidence of bitterness is a lack of love. Love your wives is the first aspect of this, and be not bitter towards your wife. So another evidence we're becoming bitter is the fact that we're showing less love. Now, we could go to 1 Corinthians chapter 7 and begin, I think, 15 messages I had on that, verses 4 through 7 on love. Or you can take time yourself, study those various aspects of what love is and what love isn't, and begin to practice them. But one of the evidences, and one of the various signs of our bitterness is a lack of love, a less and less loving of our wife. Because when our love goes down, our bitterness goes up. When our love goes down, up, our bitterness goes down. I got a string. Look at your purpose here on your sheet. You know what? I purpose to study and practice 1 Corinthians 13, verses 4 through 7, towards my wife so that I'll not be in danger of becoming bitter towards her. But look at another purpose. I'm going to examine my attitudes. I'm going to examine my actions towards my life, or in my life, or wife, to see if I'm showing any of the following signs. Just note if you're following these signs in your life. Are you troubled? Are you troubling her? Are you fainting? You're fighting or fleeing. Are you angry? Do you mumble? Do you grumble? Do you complain towards her? Are you showing her less and less love? All of these are signs of your bitterness. Well, the sources of bitterness, the signs of bitterness. Oh, let's not stop there. Let's look at the solutions for bitterness. Now, we talked before that the opposite of pride and humility, opposite of pride is humility. As evidence, we said, by prayer to God. More prayer, man. More prayer to God. The opposite of love, lust, is contentment and godly love. And we just spoke about love here in a moment ago. But one of the things we also noted previously is that biblical love, number one, it doesn't provoke others to bitterness. And number two, it's not provoked to bitterness. You don't let others provoke you to bitterness. In our studies, we've discovered to be an overcomer of bitterness, one must acknowledge and accept God is in control. And then on the other hand, we said you need to acknowledge and alter that you're out of control when you cause others to be bitter or when you allow others to cause you to be bitter. Those two thoughts you need to bring into your mind. So now how can a husband keep from being provoked by a sinful wife? First of all, he needs to remember who God is. We must remember that God is in control of all things, yes, even our wives. She cannot say, she cannot do any sinful thing towards us except God permits it. And if he permits it, it's because he wants us to practice Matthew 7, verses 1 through 5, this whole aspect about self-examination. God, what are you trying to teach me from my sinful wife? Faith, patience, love, humility, meekness, holiness, righteousness, all of the above. You must remember, secondly, not only is God in control, but you must remember you're out of control. If you don't acknowledge you're out of control, you're not going to stop what you're doing. You're out of control if you get bitter. Now, you got to keep those two things in mind. But notice now the instruction that Paul gives prior to listing these specific roles that each of us is to follow. What does he say? Well, look at verses 1 and 2 of Colossians 3. Hey, God's in control. That's what you got to be mindful of. God is in control. If you don't believe that, a wife will not submit, a husband will not love, children will not obey. God's in control. Look what he says. If then, or since then, he, or since then, if ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affections on things above, not on things on the earth. I'll tell you why a wife is struggling with submitting. I'll tell you why a husband is struggling with loving and children are struggling with obeying. It's because they have failed to seek those things above. They have failed to set their affections, their heart, and their emotions on things above. Well, what have they set? What are they seeking? They're in love with themselves. They're not seeking and setting their affections on things above. Your pride, your lust, influencing your affections, your heart, your mind, to focus on the here and now, to fan your own lust for self-gratification. You see, when our love for and our bitterness towards our wife is being tested, we must understand that God is not only seeking to show our wives, but he's also seeking to show us men that we're not setting our affections on things above. The next time the test comes, ask yourself this question, man. Hey, do I want to do this because it'll bring glory to God and good for others? Just ask yourself that. She's saying no. Yeah, but I want to do this for the glory of God and for the good of others. I'll tell you why you get bitter. Why do I get bitter? Because I'm not set and I'm not seeking the things that are above. That's what I'm seeking. What's good for this old boy? Oh, how's this gonna fit in my plans? Trent read to us this morning, 1 Corinthians 10, 31 and 32. It says, wherefore, whether you eat or drink or whatsoever you do, do all for the glory of God. Give none offense, neither to the Jews, neither to the Gentiles, nor to the church of God. Even as I please all men in all things, not seeking my own profit, but the profit of many, that they may be saved. What's the two great commandments, people? You're to love God with all your heart, soul, mind, and you're to love others. Do you think if I'm loving God and I'm loving others, I'm going to get bitter? I'll tell you when I get bitter is when I stop loving God and I stop loving others. This is why he begins, husbands, love your wives and be not bitter. If you're loving, you're not going to be bitter. Look at your purpose, man. Hey, because I want to fulfill my God-given role prior to responding towards my wife with less love and more bitterness, I purpose to ask myself if I'm seeking those things which are above and am I setting my affection on things above, and then do it. If you can answer affirmative, ask, I am seeking and I'm setting my affections on things above, then go right ahead. You need to remember who God is, but hold on. There's one more thing you know. You need to remember who you are. Look at verses 3 and 4. For he says, ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall he also appear with him in glory. Two things. We're dead and our life is hid with Christ, but we shall appear with him in glory. Look at your purpose, please. Because I want to fulfill my God-given role, I purpose to remember I'm dead with Christ and I'm going to appear with him in glory. You say, I'm struggling submitting, I'm struggling loving, I'm struggling obeying. Well, remember who you are in Christ. What you have in Christ. Because of who we are in Christ, what should we be doing? Look at verse 5. Therefore, mortify. Mortify, therefore, what? Well, your members, which are upon the earth. Here we go. Wow. Fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil concupiscence, covetousness, which is idolatry. Man, basically all kinds of immoral impurity, all kinds. You see, because we are in Christ, and because we, of all we have in Christ, we must not yield our body and its members unto sin. That's what he's saying, mortify, put them to death. Look at your purpose. Because I want to fulfill my God-given role, I purpose to mortify, I purpose to put to death my body and its members to sin. Husbands, love your wives, be not bitter. How can you do that? Well, die to self. Mortify the members of your body. Put them to death. And why should we do that, men? Look at verse 6. For which thing's sake the wrath of God cometh on the children of disobedience. That's why. Look at your purpose. Hey, because the wrath of God comes on the children of disobedience. You know what? I purpose to demonstrate I'm a child of God. You know how? By not practicing the sinful behavior described in this verse and in verse 5. You see, we need to remember who we were, but we also need to remember who we are. Okay, who we were. Look at verse 7. Who we were? Well, in the which ye also walked sometime when you lived in them. Oh, yes, that was time past we acted like that. That's who I was. But wait a minute, who am I now? Look at verse 8. But now, ye also put off all these anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communication out of your mouth. Lie not one to another, seeing that you have put off the old man with his deeds. Put him off. And by the way, all these sins that are mentioned here are evidences that we're bitter. All of them. Okay, there's your purpose then. Because I want to fulfill my God-given role, I purpose to put off the old man and such sins as anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communication, and lying. Look at, we forgot who God is. We've forgotten who we are in Christ. That's why we don't fulfill our God-given roles, whether it's wives submit, husbands love, children obey. That's why. We have forgotten God, who he is, who we are in Christ. Put them off. But look on. Look at verse 10. What else? Put on. And have put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him. We've been talking about creation in our early morning. Where there's neither Greek nor Jew, circumcision or uncircumcision, barbarian, Scythian, bond or free, but Christ is all and in all. Remember, you are not the old man anymore. You are the new man, born after the image of Jesus Christ. Act like him. Love your wife. Be not bitter towards him. Wives, act like you're the new woman, not the old woman. Submit. Children, act like you're the new child. Obey. What are we to put on? Look at verse 12. Put on, he says, therefore, as the elect of God, there we are, as holy and beloved, that's who we are. Put on what? Well, let's put on bowels of mercies. Let's put on kindness. How about some humbleness of mind? Oh, how about meekness? Long-suffering. Why, forbearing one another, forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. How can you fulfill your God-given role of loving your wife, men, and being not bitter against her? How can any of us fulfill our God-given roles? Right here. Look at your purpose. Because I want to fulfill my role as the elect of God, as holy and beloved, I purpose to put on the qualities of Colossians 3, verses 12 through 14. What we've seen is the two great commandments being described here. Love God. Love others. Matthew 22, verses 34 through 40. Now, is there anything else, men, that we can do that would assist us in fulfilling our God-given roles? Well, how about verse 14? And above all these things, put on charity, which is in the bond of perfectness. Put on love. And as I mentioned, love in God, loving others. And, wait a minute, we're not done. Look at verse 15. And, look at the two words, let. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which also ye are called in one body. P.S. And be thankful. All right, so the first let is this. Let the peace of God rule in your hearts. Wow. I want to tell you something. If the peace of God is ruling in your heart, men, you will be loving your wife and you'll not be bitter. Would others describe you as a man of peace? Man, whew, he brings peace. He is peace. If I, man, I'm my husband's epitaph is going to be just peace. Certainly not going to be war, is it? Let the peace of God rule in your hearts. Oh, and be thankful. I can tell you how peaceful you are. You know how I can tell how peaceful you are? By how thankful you are. Now there's a man of peace. You can't mumble, you can't complain, you can't grumble and say, wow, listen to that. He's so unthankful. He's just oozing with peace. No. And that's the first thing that goes. Romans 1, the first thing, and they were no longer thankful. You say, man, I seem to be loving my wife less. I seem to be having more bitterness towards her. What's happened? You know what? I lost my thankful for her. I'm not thankful for her at all. But wait on. Well, there's another let. Look at verse 16. Along with letting the peace of God rule in your hearts, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom. Now teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. And whatsoever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by him. Hey, let the peace of God rule in your hearts. Oh, and be thankful. Let the word of God dwell in you richly. Oh, and be thankful. One litmus test for whether or not you're letting the word of God dwell in you richly. Just how thankful are you? What I'm showing you, this is the verses he uses to bring us to the place of here's your duties. This is the doctrine. You got to have a foundation. You need to know the doctrines of who God is, of who we are. Man, who are we in Christ? Well, we're that old man. No, we're not. We're the new man. Well, how do I demonstrate I'm the new man? Well, you put off the old things and you put on the new things. You let the peace of God rule in your hearts. Stop being that warrior. Let the peace of God rule. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. There's nothing wrong with admonishing, teaching, but you know how you're to do it. Out of 2 Timothy, you're to do it gently, you're to do it patiently, and you're to do it meekly. Praying, if God will give them a spirit of repentance, whereby they will acknowledge the truth, whereby they will flee from the snare of the devil who has taken them captive. Well, look at your purpose here, please. Because I want to fulfill my God-given role, I purpose to let the peace of God rule and the word of God dwell in my heart. Do you want to successfully fulfill your God-given role? Then remember who God is. Remember who you are in Christ. He says in verse 17, and whatsoever you do. But honey, I want to. Whatsoever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus. What's that mean to do it in the name of the Lord Jesus? Do it in the name of the Lord Jesus. Well, obviously that I'm to do it to please him, right? In his name. I'm to do it for his sake. Husbands, listen to me. If you will respond to your wife, striving to do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, you're going to be able to fulfill your God-given role to love her and to be not bitter towards her. Yeah, I'm doing this. I'm doing this. I'm doing this for his name's sake. I know this is God's purpose for me and my wife. Therefore, this is what we're doing. I'm doing it for his glory and for my wife's good. That's why I'm doing it. Versus, man, I love myself. I mean, there's just, I mean, I just, oh, this is, just look at this guy. Well, love your wives. Be not bitter towards them. You see that, in fact, every one of us in this room will be able to fulfill our God-given role. Wives submit, husbands love, be not bitter, children obey, fathers provoke not, servants obey, masters give. If we will follow the dictates of Colossians chapter 3. Look at your last purpose. Because I want to fulfill my God-given role. I purpose in whatsoever I do to do all in the name of Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by him. You see, you and I can always give thanks if we're doing it to please our Lord, if we're doing it in his namesake, for his honor, for his glory, for her good. Well, I perceive that this is a marvelous way to end our series on bitterness with that very verse, verse 17. But because of the nature of bitterness, I would end with this final admonition. I would encourage you at least once a year to get on the internet and listen to this 9-part series. Because bitterness, see, it creeps in and it gets a hold of us. And we need to be reminded of what a foe it is. And one of the things what you can do is listen to this series once a year, just once a year, break it out again, listen to it. And don't let bitterness spring up and thereby trouble you. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we do want to thank you and praise you for this 9-part series on bitterness. There's probably more that we could say, but hopefully this has been enough to bring us to the realization that all of us are more bitter than we'd like to acknowledge. But Lord, there is victory. And the victory lies in us focusing on heavenly things and focusing on us putting off the old and putting on the new. It focuses on, Lord, being the peace of God just ruling and the Word of God dwelling in us. We just look forward, Lord, to fulfilling each of our God-given roles more fervently and fruitfully because of the principles and precepts of Colossians chapter 3. For it's in Jesus we pray. Amen.